truth be told, I feel like too many fairy tales start with a woman wanting to get pregnant. As if women are only meant for breeding. But as I read these stories over and over, I come to understand a deeper meaning. That women birth so many things. That within our bodies, we are the creatrixes of our universe. And children, although so important, are only one of the things that we birth in our lifetime. And for a woman not to be gestating something creative can leave any woman, including a queen, bereft, lost. She may be doing all the things in her queendom, making sure the lands are safe, the people are safe, paying the bills, keeping the castle clean. But if she doesn't have that special, beloved muse, some part of her innocent, creative, wild one tromping about, she just doesn't feel whole. And that's where the red rose and the white rose, often known as the Lindworm, from the Norse mythology comes from. Now there's many women in this story that are loyal and loving, and the midwife plays a most interesting part in the plot twist. For she's devoted to birthing babies. She's devoted to the king and queen. She is there to usher in life itself. However, in a moment in extreme terror, she makes a rash decision and tosses the firstborn out the window and never says a word to anyone, therefore sealing the fate of the firstborn. Wild, untamable, and not welcome at home. If we dive deeper, we see that this serpent prince could be that part of each of us that doesn't seem normal to the rest of our family. That part of ourselves that we may have ourselves exiled or buried just so we could belong. And when you listen to this story, if when he gets thrown out the window, if that pings you, gives you a sharp sensation, it's a clue to examine where in your life has this happened to you and where have you done it to others? Not as a blame-seeking game, but as a way to acknowledge that it's time to bring that part, that person, maybe even some secret gift of yours back home and back to life. Every family comes with a healthy dose of denial or amnesia. Like the king and queen, they don't remember anything. As if the queen checks out during her own childbirthing experience and doesn't realize that she pushed out two children. How ironic that this story points to something that is part of human nature. To forget, to not look at, to unremember something that was vital to our family system. The story also points to that nothing is ever lost. Just like in nature, when things are broken or fallen or burnt or lost, they don't disappear. They may become compost or fodder on the forest floor. They may be tumbled down a creek into the ocean, but nothing is ever truly disappeared. And this is what the second born finds out. The second born is the mirror image, the double of his brother, where the first born is dark, mysterious, angry, and has an unending appetite. The second born is light and lovely and golden and easy, and is given all the blessings of the kingdom, including the king's best stallion, and a blessing to go find his bride. And what's interesting to me is that the second born, with all of these blessings, still has a conscience. When he hears the ominous voice at the crossroads, he doesn't keep going. He doesn't fall into the family amnesia and denial. He wakes up, scared at first, but then goes back for the truth. This is one of the reasons I love fairy tales. The healing is in the truth-telling. That's where it begins and ends. And truth doesn't always bring happily ever after. That's also something I adore about stories. They are pointing to our truths, natural laws, the integrity that is woven and born into all living things. Of course, I enjoy a happily ever after. Wine and roses and the banquet table stretched out large where everyone comes to eat. Oh yes, the little one in me. Oh yes, there is one in me that loves that. And there is one in me that honors truth and healing above a band-aid. And so this second brother goes back. He wakes up the family. He brings them to the midwife and makes everyone remember the night he was born. This is crucial to the story, especially if we look at the perspective the story is trying to bring from the feminine. The queen's strategy to court her eldest son back, to send poets and storytellers and musicians, is such a romantic and loving act. No soldiers to capture or kill. She has this same disposition as her second born, this one of welcoming, including, now the wholehearted welcome, and the willingness to feed the oldest son. Although it's a barbaric way to make amends with her eldest son by feeding him young brides, they feel like they don't know what else to do. And it points to a hungry part of all of us, where we are still searching in our lives to be fed what we didn't get fed before. Maybe it's from our bereft childhood with not enough touch or appreciation. Maybe it's when we were bullied in school and our teachers and mentors didn't support us to speak up. Maybe it was in a marriage. Somewhere we may still have a hungry ghost or serpent looking to be fed what it didn't get. And it's wild, spontaneous, unpredictable, and needs to be met with the same passion. In comes the shepherd's daughter, one who knows the way of the wild, one who's comfortable with living outside with animals, and one who also has a sense of justice embedded in her. She somehow knows a destructive nature unchecked is not good for the queendom, not good for the world that she lives in, and she's willing to do something about it. And lucky for her, she gets help. There's a theme in many old stories about when one is pure-hearted, has a pure intention, is motivated for a greater good, help, wisdom, even medicine arrives. It's in so many stories, and here it is again. Remember how she stops to have a nap by the tree? This symbol of the tree of life, the one at the center of the universe that gives all the fruits, all the wisdom. Here it is again, in a different form, in a different tale, where out of the tree comes a woman with a bobbing head. I have wrestled with this image of a woman with a bobbing head for decades. I'm still not sure exactly what it means, but maybe it has something to do with someone who sees in all directions, not a fixed head, a fixed perspective, but something that moves around and considers all the things. Because the woman with the bobbing head gives great consideration to what she suggests the girl ask for when she arrives at the palace. The metaphor of removing dresses and layers of scales is an exquisite example of shedding our armoring, our protection, our personality, our wounding, to get back to love. The innocence, that unconditional love that we're all born with. And this is a great task for this young girl. This is why the one with the bobbing head shows up, tells her to ask for time and to take with her these essential cleansing ingredients. The milk, the ash. This is an old, old ritual. that milk is a form of nourishment, and ash is this essential and powerful substance that survives everything. Imagine after a fire, everything is gone, burned to a crisp, but ash is still there. And within it are all the nutrients, the DNA of the trees themselves, that will be reabsorbed into the soil and the skin of the earth and will help rejuvenate the next forest. This ash scrubbing of the prints is essential to the shedding of old skin and revivifying the man that was buried under all of those long years of exile and isolation. And the milk? The sweet, soft nutrients of the feminine again, the one who gives milk. This young girl is also a part of us, the one in us that knows that some things live and some things die, and that as long as we are alive, we have the power to help life continue, to put our hands toward what we want to heal. And maybe that part of us is dormant, or we haven't had to call upon that part of ourselves. But when we do, this story points to the innocent courage that it will take to meet the moment when something has been exiled, abandoned, or wounded within ourselves, in our families, or in the world. This is not the only meaning of this story, but some ways to look back on the characters and symbols and see a little deeper. Always trust the feeling you have in your intuition, in your gut, and how this story strikes you and points you to what you need to know about you and your life right now.